Wake up, y'all. We got Sixers basketball today. Good morning on this day, Friday, November 15th. This is your Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update, giving you all the Sixers news you need to know, as well as what to keep your eye on. Thank you for ending your week with me. It's your man, James Jackson. I know I say thanks for starting your day and week with me. I don't think I thank you guys for ending your week with me as much as you, as much as I should. So I really appreciate that. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at JimmyJ23. Make sure you're following the podcast as well. At Clap Your Hands Pod on Twitter. Everyone in the city celebrating a dominant Eagles victory last night. Hopefully we can wake up tomorrow and celebrate a Sixers victory and them turning their season around. You know how we do with these daily pods. Let's set the agenda. We'll go for the schedule, some scores around the league, injury, regular injury news, regular news. And then when I take a break on the other side of that break is when I get into some analysis. Three things to watch for. It's a game day today against the Orlando Magic. That's what we start with the schedule tonight at 7 p.m. in away game against the Orlando Magic. Again, an NBA Cup game. So the second NBA Cup game of the week for the Sixers as they travel down to Disney World, you know, close to Disney World. They travel to Orlando to take on the Orlando Magic, like I said, tonight at 7 p.m. So make sure we are home from work, tuned in, ready to go on a Friday night for some Sixers action. I would get some scores around the league, but there was no one really in action. There was one game in action last night. It was in the Western Conference, the Jazz and the Mavs. A crazy ending to that game, a crazy game. You can go check out the highlights. I'm not going to go over that game because has nothing to do with the Sixers. All right, we go to some injury news and some injury updates. Tyrese Maxey right now remains out with his hamstring strain tonight against the Magic. He will not go. I was hoping to have seen some kind of updates today throughout or yesterday leading into today as he was set to be reevaluated on Thursday, a week from when he sustained his injury. But there's no new, no updates as of right now. So we just know that the current that Tyrese Maxey's out dealing with that hamstring strain, and hopefully he's going to return to the court as soon as possible, obviously, but hopefully that is soon for the Sixers. Andre Drummond also missed Wednesday's game against the Cavs due to an illness. He's currently listed as questionable right now on the injury report for tonight's game, so let's hope that Dre is feeling better. You heard me go for my three things to watch for against the Cavs. One of them was a very focal point on Andre Drummond. I had no idea he was dealing with that illness. I'm sure he woke up Wednesday and wasn't feeling well, and that's why he's crashed. I don't even believe he was on the bench for the Sixers, so while not even at the arena, so probably, you know, going through something. So hopefully, you know, Dre got his fluids in him, hopefully rested up, hopefully he's good to go for tonight. Joel Embiid and Paul George were not on the injury report for the Sixers, meaning looks like they're going to be good to go after resting the second leg of that back-to-back on Wednesday. We know that Joel Embiid obviously came out and said that he's not going to be playing in back-to-backs or in the second leg of back-to-backs this season. And after Paul George, you know, sustained that bone bruise, Nick Nurse said he's going to be following a similar rehab plan to Joel. So, you know, and we may not see Paul George in back-to-backs this season either. But that's old news as of right now. Both of them are set to go for tonight, so we should see them. Hopefully we see a good performance out of both of them as well. We go to the Magic side. We know the Magic are still dealing with their loss to their all-star guard Paolo Banchero right now. Earlier this month, he went down with a right torn oblique and is out several weeks. So that's, we're 2 weeks into that several week timeline that Paolo Banchero is set to be out. So we'll see how long he continues to be out, but he's definitely a no-go tonight against the Sixers. And we'll see when the Magic get, you know, one of the best young players in the league back for them. Wendell Carter Jr. is also out right now with a foot injury, that plantar fasciitis, which anyone is familiar with that or has had it or knows someone that's had it, that's a nagging injury. That is nasty and it's painful, and there's not much you can do about it because it's the foot. So you got to just rest that. So Wendell Carter Jr., who was starting to play well for the Magic too at the end of last season and the beginning of this one, out with that plantar fasciitis. So we will not see Wendell Carter in this game. we move to some general Sixers news, because we have some. The Sixers unveil their City Edition jerseys for this season, and they're tough, y'all. I like them a lot. They dropped a bunch of pictures and a dope kind of throwback style video to reveal the jerseys on Instagram and Twitter. They're the Spectrum jerseys. That's what they're calling them for this year. It's for the 2024-2025 City Editions. They paid tribute to the old arena, the Spectrum, that the Sixers and Flyers used to play in, with the old school Spectrum font, the old school Sixers font running across the front of the jersey with the Spectrum logo on it. It's pretty dope. It's got a white base for the jerseys this year. Like I said, super clean, super tough. I'm a big fan. So go and check out the Sixers social media, and I'm sure a lot of other social media. I reposted the video. A lot of other Sixers beat reporters posted pictures and the videos of the jerseys. If you haven't seen them yet, go and check them out for yourself. They are great jerseys, and you know, I'm a size medium. You know, if anyone out there is looking to give a Christmas gift to your boy, I'm a size medium. At me, at Jimmy J on Twitter, find me. And if you want to send me a Christmas gift, I'll let you know to Addy, and you can drop one on your boy. I would appreciate, man. I like the gift, the season of giving, right? We're in that. We're about to be in that season. So if y'all are feeling generous, let me know. I'm just saying. All right. I'm about to take a break. On the other side of this break, we get into some analysis. It's a game day. So three things to watch for as the Sixers go for their second NBA Cup game and look to snap an ugly skid and kind of have a turning point to beginning part of their season. That and more on the other side. Stay tuned. Welcome back, y'all. TGIF 2 on this Friday. Appreciate you ending your week with me, your boy James Jackson. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at JimmyJ23. Make sure you're following the pod as well at Clap Your Hands Pod, because it's a game day. So pre, during, and post, we're going to have tweets kind of breaking down the game, what we're seeing, and our expert analysis, three guys talking ball. You heard me, Jack, and Elliot earlier in the week kind of breaking down the state of affair for the Sixers after Joel Embiid's season debut. But it's tonight against the Orlando Magic is what we are focused on, the Sixers' second NBA Cup game of the season. So time to get ready for that game. It's three things to watch for as they go and take on the Orlando Magic tonight. The first thing I'm watching for, since we are getting Joel Embiid back, presumably we are getting Joel Embiid back tonight for his second game, I'm going to look at the dynamic of him and Jared McCain, man. And it's crazy to see where we are with Jared McCain, that he's starting. My three things to watch for as developing a two-man game and a chemistry with Embiid. But that's just where we are. It's how well he's played. After dropping a career-high 32 points in his first start on Wednesday against the Cavs, I think it's fair to say that Jared McCain has earned a second start tonight against the Orlando Magic, especially while Maxey is out. If you get some good pop from the guard position in the starting lineup, why not do it? Why not reward the rookie with his great play and being right now like a leader of this team? Right? Like, he's been an engine and a driving force for two games now, and I back-to-back games. And I think that you have to reward that by putting him in the starting lineup. And not only do I think he's earned that opportunity, but I want to see him on the floor with Joel Embiid as much as possible, because I think those two are starting to develop, you know, a pretty good chemistry, along with Jared McCain, you know, growing his confidence on the court. And I think that started that two-man game, that chemistry and dynamic that started in the next game with McCain and Embiid. I saw them start to do that, command a whole side of the floor. You heard me talk with Elliot and Jack on Wednesday when we did our full pod. One of my observations of the Knicks game was there was times at the end of the stretch of that game when the Sixers were trying to stay in it, where Jared McCain would bring the ball down the right side of the floor and they would clear out that side of the floor for only him and Embiid. I watched them run like three straight dribble handoffs back and forth in an action, and it resulted in Jared McCain getting into the lane and getting himself a bucket. Like, that's something that I'm not going to see just once, right? Especially after you see that work, that's something that they're probably working on and they're going to look to develop it. So that's a nice two-man game I'm seeing them run. And I just want to see more of that of McCain and Embiid. McCain spoke about how playing with Embiid is, you know, how playing with him is so fast-paced and there's a lot going on, but it also benefits him because of how much attention Embiid commands, right? When you come off a dribble handoff, you come off a screen, you come off of some action that involves Joel Embiid, there's attention and there's probably a thought that that ball is going to swing right back to him, right? So there's openings for Jeremy McCain to attack off of that. And I think if, you know, we can go from, you know, having Jeremy McCain create his own offense to him getting easy looks with going with Embiid, that just does wonders. So I think it's crazy, right? Jeremy McCain went from a fine draft pick to possibly impacting the Sixers rotation to now being one of the focal players on this team while the Stars work their way back to full strength, their way back to 100%. So now time to put, you know, put him in the action with our best player and see what he can do. I don't think this just benefits Jeremy McCain. I think this also benefits Joel Embiid, because if Jeremy McCain can continue to provide that scoring aid for Embiid, takes a little bit of pressure off of the big man as he comes back to 100%. So that's the first thing I'm watching for tonight against the Magic. Second thing I'm watching for tonight is trying to avoid one of those famous scoring droughts that the Sixers have gotten into oh so many times this season. I think in pretty much every game this season, you can point to a time where the Sixers have hit, you know, just a stagnant offense, just a stalemate on offense, and they can't get anything going. The offense just can't find anything. Nick Nurse has commented on this a bunch, and the Sixers' scoring outputs this season can point to directly to how much they're struggling on the offensive end, and they seem to, at some point, inevitably hit a however long minute game stretch, 5, 6, 7 plus minute stretch of basketball where they're just not scoring. They're not stressing the defense, not putting any pressure on the defense, and they're settling for shots, and it just doesn't look good. So, and I think tonight is going to be especially challenging to try to avoid this dry spell, right? With how well the Cavs are playing, or how well the Magic, excuse me, are playing on defense, right? Losing their best offensive player in Paolo Banchero has made the Magic really lock in on defense this season. They're currently on a 4-game winning streak, and they haven't allowed 94 points, more than 94 points, in any of those contests. Right, currently ranked second in the NBA in defensive rating behind just OKC. They allow the fewest opponent points in the paint and are top five in blocks per game as a team. Right, so it's a very, very, very good defensive team. And if the Sixers don't make sure that they're staying in the flow, right, that the Magic can really, you know, kind of smother them defensively, really overwhelm them defensively, and that's not going to be a good recipe for anyone involved in the Sixers organization, right? So the Sixers cannot go that long without scoring. The Magic already hold their opponents to a low ceiling scoring. If the Sixers kind of deflate themselves even more by doing that, they're going to find themselves on a very wrong end of a very large deficit. But if the Sixers can keep that offense flowing, they give themselves a great chance to win this game, in my opinion. Orlando stops a lot of teams from scoring, but they're not great at scoring themselves. They rank 22nd in offense right now, scoring just 107 points per game. And I know that's very optimistic for me to see what the Sixers are doing right now and say that if they can, you know, keep it going against one of the best defenses in the league, that they should put themselves in a prime position to win because that team doesn't score much. I get it. Very optimistic. And based on what we've seen the past 3, 4, 5 games of the Sixers, I'm not sure we can really expect that. But it's what I'm watching for. Because when you have Embiid in the second game, you have Paul George now getting in the swing of things, hopefully shaking off rust. You have Jared McCain, who's playing with just an extreme and exuberant amount of confidence right now. Maybe it's something they can do. Maybe this is something the Sixers can do. And if they are able to score 110, 115, they can maybe outrun the Magic, outlast the Magic, and get themselves a win. Let's try to avoid one of those scoring droughts for the Sixers. The last thing I'm looking for, simple. Can we win the three-point battle? Can we win the 3-point battle. It's hard to believe that there's a team out there that shoots the ball worse than the Sixers do from 3-point range. But that team is the Orlando Magic this year. And it's the Magic because they are the worst shooting 3-point shooting team in the NBA, shooting only 30% from three as a team. So, you know, the Sixers right now are allowing teams to shoot 37% from behind the arc, which is top three in the NBA right now. So, hope, you know, something's got to give. Right now, the Magic clearly are offsetting their poor shooting performances by locking down on defense, right? You're only scoring 107 a game, but when teams aren't scoring more than 94 in recent contests, you're going to win. You don't need to shoot the ball extremely well if teams are shooting abysmal against you. So, like I said, something's got to give in this game. And hopefully, maybe the Sixers can get on the positive side of that 3-point margin, that 3-point battle, and we'll see where that puts them in the position to win this game. But those are my three things to watch for as the Sixers go down to Disney World and take on the Orlando Magic. That Jared McCain and Joel Embiid 2-man game continuing to develop, avoiding one of those scoring droughts against the Magic, because if they do, they might be able to outlast them. And how about we win the 3-point battle? The worst 3-point shooting team in the league in the Orlando Magic. Let's beat them at this facet of the game. Hopefully the Sixers can end the work week with a win and send us into the weekend, a stress-free football weekend for a lot of Eagles fans out there with a win. But until Monday, everyone have a safe and great weekend. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. And I will see you guys next week.